Do you think we'll ever learn to trust the Lord and quit our worry and frustration and anxiety and really believe that God means what he says? Don't you remember it was Jesus himself who declared, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, I wish we could learn to really trust God and to do what the Bible says, cast all of our cares upon him. Now, at no time does the Bible encourage us to just ignore our problems, you know, kind of a mind over matter affair. Just don't think you have a problem and you don't. The Bible doesn't even encourage that sort of thing. It has us to come face to face with our problems, with the devil himself, with evil, with heartache, with sickness, pain, trouble, and to know that it really exists. It's there. But then, and here's the secret of happy Christian living, but then take that problem after you see what it is and get down to business with God and pray through on it. And then the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding She'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see, when something desperate happens in your life, some financial stress, some marital problems, some interpersonal relationship difficulties, something that's scary out there in the future, you face it head on. And then you pray about it and you say, God, I don't know what to do about this situation, but I bring it before you. I lift it to the heart of God. Oh, God, undertake for me. That's how you deal with problems. You don't ignore them. You don't look the other way. You don't hope they just go away on their own. You pray about it. And the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You think we'll ever learn to do that? How many sermons have you and I heard preached that would exhort us to that very thing? Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does he mean it? Oh, yes, he does. Why are we so slow in believing? Why are we so slow in proving the faithfulness of God? So, dear friend, if you've got a problem, don't ignore it. It needs fixing. Pray about it. Don't do it in your own strength and wisdom and understanding, because sometimes we make bigger messes of things when we in our own selves try to fix it. But if you will look to the Lord, look to the Lamb of God, trust him, pour your heart out to God. I believe that. I don't think that there is any water so deep. But what if you will cry out to God? Some way, somehow, he will bring you safely through. But it won't happen just ignoring it. Get down to business with God and cry out to him. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, said the psalmist. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. F.B. Meyer once said, if you can't pray, cry, because the Lord hears the desire of the humble. God does hear our cry. No water so deep, but what if you will cry out to God in your desperation? He's going to hear you. He's going to bring you through. Some way, somehow, where there seems to be no way, and at times when there absolutely is no way, if you will cry out to God, he's going to come to your rescue. He's going to come to your aid. Just read Psalm 18. I love that chapter, where David cries out to the Lord in his desperation. And he says in so many words how that God will move heaven and earth, if necessary, to come to the aid of his little one who is sinking below the waters. David cried out to God. And in his poetic imagery, he depicts God with all the thunder and lightning and God moving on the scene and reaching down his big hand and taking hold of David's little hand and lifting him up from the threatening flood waters and setting him on sound ground. Well, that's us too. No matter what is facing you in your life, cry out to God. Cry out to him. Pray to him. Let me give you another good psalm for you to read. Don't read it all at one time because it's the longest chapter in the Bible. But if you will read it in sections, that's Psalm 119. It's divided into 22 different sections of 8 verses long. And if you were to just take one section at a time, consisting of 8 verses, and just read them out loud, make them as a prayer, because that's what it was, and make them your words, you can say, Lord, this isn't the psalmist praying 3,000 years ago. This is me praying. Lord, hear these words that come from my heart, and then read that out loud. And you'll find that the psalmist put in words exactly your own desires and your own feelings and the cry of your own heart as he begins to pray for understanding, and that God would direct his steps in the ways of righteousness and help him. You'll love those words. Make it your prayer. And as you do it, cry out to God. And in the midst of the deep water that you're treading, know this, that if you really get down to business with the Lord and cast your cares upon him and cry out to God in the desperation of your soul, with no reservations, you know, you can't say, well, I'm going to cry out to God now, and if he helps me, then I'll forget him, and I'll just keep living the same old way I've always lived. It doesn't work that way. When you come to Jesus, you come with your whole heart, and you say, God, I give you everything that I am. I'm on your side. And I want to please you in everything I do and say. And then as you come to the Lord in that kind of a heart cry, God is going to bring you through no matter how deep the water.
I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people.
What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people.
We need those times that we can be together and worship in times of exhortation, don't we? Doesn't the Bible say that we are not to neglect or forsake the assembling of ourselves together, exhorting one another? And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And in Hebrews chapter 3, I read these words, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You see, the devil has so much strategy and so many traps set for anybody who loves the Lord. And the scripture says that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if we spend almost all of our time out there in the world and hearing the propaganda of the world and everything that is fed to us through television and every other media and all the means that the world can use to propagate its message, and if that's about all we hear, and we forsake the assembling of ourselves together to exhort one another, I tell you, you're going to be tricked. Because there is deception in sin. There is deceitfulness in riches. And the devil gives us a lot of lies. And we need to come together, not as weak, scared people. I don't mean that. We need to come together to be strengthened in the things of God, to know what is thus saith the Lord and what his ways are. You know, all week long, the world keeps saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the road to happiness and success and fulfillment. This is the high life. And it is so helpful for Christians to meet together in the middle of the week, like on a Wednesday night, to hear someone say again, oh no, this is the way, walk ye in it. And yet so many people across our nation are forsaking the midweek service. So many people never come. And so many of our children and so many of our youth are so taken up in all the programs that the school system gives and other sports events offer. And nothing wrong with the good programs that they offer. Just don't do it on Wednesday nights, okay? We need that middle of the week. We don't need for the schools or sport events or anybody else to rob us of that midweek worship service where people who have been flooded all week long with the world's propaganda can come and hear the Lord say to us, this is the right way. Here's the way to peace. Here's the way to righteousness. Here's the way to true success. But it seems that more and more and more, everybody is ignoring that Wednesday night service that is vital. I'll read those scriptures again. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'll tell you about myself. I need it. I need those times of exhortation. I need to be reminded again to walk close to the Lord, to not be conformed to the things of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I want somebody preaching to me like that. I need it. And if I'm not badly mistaken, you need it too. Let's not forsake those times of exhortation. And anyway, don't you love the feel of the thrill of being together with God's wonderful people? There's nothing like it. With people who really love the Lord, not just out of a show, not just in emotion, but people who from their hearts really love Jesus and have received and accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. To be together with people like that who love God, what a privilege. Whether it be on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, What a privilege to sit at Jesus' feet together with brothers and sisters that we love in Christ and grow together in the things of the Lord. Well, Bill Gaither some years ago wrote a beautiful song entitled "The King is Coming." And I don't think anybody sings it quite as well as Doug Odom. The King is coming. That's the hope of the Christian. Behold, I come quickly. And the Lord tells us, hold that fast that you have until I come. John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Well, one of these days the marketplace is going to stand empty. No more traffic out there in the streets. And the builder's tools, all silent. No time for the farmer to harvest the wheat. The busy housewives will have ceased their labors. In our great courtrooms across the nation, there'll be no more debate. As the king comes to the gate, eager faces are going to lie in those hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes like Laura's and mine that he's mended. Those from prison that he has freed. And the little children, and the old and infirm and the aged, hand in hand they'll stand all aglow. Those who were crippled and those who were broken and ruined will be clad in garments white as snow. Because the King of all kings is coming. The King is coming. I just heard his trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming. Our King is coming. Well, praise God, he's coming. Coming for me. And the Bible gives us some signs of his returning. It says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, floods. In the end days, God has promised to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. The veil between the spirit world and this world is becoming more and more transparent. The time of his unveiling is nearly upon us. And if we listen closely, we can almost hear the chariots rumble. We can see the marching throng. All the flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfurling. Heaven's grandstands are all in place. Heaven's choir now assembled, and they sing of
say praise the Lord. That's the hope of the Christian, and I want to be ready. I want to be ready when Jesus comes, whether he comes in the clouds of heaven, as the Bible says he's going to come someday, or if he comes to me and for me in death. Either way, it could happen anytime. Lord, I want to be ready to meet you. Thank you for your saving grace. All praise and glory be to you. This is my tribute of praise. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Lord, we worship you today. Thank you for the privilege of this time of worship. Thank you, dear friends, for listening to Morning Devotions. This is John Thrasher. I hope you have a good day. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. May God just put his arms round about you and lift you up, give you the strength and the grace that you need, and fill your hearts and lives with his peace. His peace that this world knows nothing of. But the Holy Spirit can impart it in your heart and mind today.